instruct under the most trying of circumstances. Although there are recording which are humorous to us who were not in the shoes, it was made for a serious purpose, to teach future instructors just what some students are like. Lieutenant Nickel was selected for the instructor in this case because he was noted for his stick-to-itiveness, his conscientiousness, and his tendency to verbally assault his students. These traits are all illustrated most clearly on this recording. However, instead of having regular flight students for this formation hop, four fellow instructors intercepted them and took over in their places without the knowledge of Lieutenant Nickel. Although the actual flight lasted 1 hour and 20 minutes, the recording was telescoped to last only 22 minutes. What happened after this is best demonstrated by the recording itself. Major Houston, who planned the project and flew as one of the substitute students, will narrate this recording further.
The narrator, Major Houston, is a member of this flight which you're about to hear. This recording should convince future tactics instructors that things will never be as bad as this. Lieutenant Nickel briefed four students on an F-14 four-plane check flight. The students departed to their respective aircraft and were intercepted by four instructors who substituted for them. Members of the flight are Major Houston in 2-7, Lieutenant Brown in 2-2, Lieutenant Gagnon in 1-6, and Major Keister in 1-3. We did our best to rattle the chase pilot, Lieutenant Nickel, and he put forth a supreme effort to bring order out of chaos. The entire flight was characterized by extremely erratic flying, improper hand signals, altitudes, and poor radio reception, which was all deliberate. For this flight, special sequence cards are used. The assigned altitude is 4,000 feet. The initial disposition in order of position is 2-7, 2-2, 1-6, and 1-3. The scene opens with the four instructors joined up, using channel 5 like a public telephone. Listen.
Holding reading, okay, this is 2-2. Here, we're not very loud. I guess it'll be okay. Check your wheels, these are all the way up. Let's break up and make another regional rendezvous while we're waiting. What's the dirty name?
The chase pilot arrives and finds the situation abnormal already.
2-7 high, you're going to make a 30-degree echelon turn with the per balance formation. Get down, would you say? I say, how are you going to make a 30-degree bank echelon turn with a balance formation? Your initial turn, you're supposed to start your sequence in echelon.
Lieutenant Nickel gets the initial radio check, and the instructors nod their heads and aircraft simultaneously.
1-3, if you read, nod your head. 1-3, if you read, nod your head. 1-6, if you read, nod your head. Nod your head, 1-6. 2-2, if you read, nod your head. Make your 2-2, if you read, nod your head. That's it. Really nod your head. 1-3, if you read, nod your head. That's a boy. Okay, 2-7, start it out.
The leader increases to 60 degrees of bank instead of 30 degrees while losing altitude.
Get the hell on the ball and let's have the parade turn. Look at the bank you're in. Oh, where are you going? Roll out, 2-7, roll out. Roll out, 2-7, level out.
At this point, a quick turn into the second section causes them to overrun, who then automatically assumes the lead.
6, are you having a trouble? Level out, 1-6. Gonna make it 1-6, straight and level. 1-6 is waiting, get over on the right echelon. Problem. Did you lose him in that turn or what?
The chase pilot, unable to realize that 1-6 is now leading, tries to straighten this mess out. Eventually, he gives up and lets 1-6 lead.
Just haven't come back over and left echelon. Stay where you are, 1-6. Just haven't come over on the sports side and open your canopy, 2-7. Just haven't crossed over to the port side, that left side.
Are you calling me, sir?
Negative, forget it. I want 6, start back and down to the left. Take off a little bit of throttle and go back to the left. 1-6, ease it over to the left, that's it. Straight ahead, 2-7. 2-7, straight ahead. Circuit breaker, 2-7, straight ahead. 3,000 feet, 2-7. All right, 1-6, level it out then. Level it out, 1-6, climb back to 3,000 feet. 1-6, clear breaker, 1-6, if you read, nod your head. If you read, 1-6, nod your head. Nod your head! Okay, take the flight home. Return to Softly Field, 1-6. Return to Softly Field. Go home. Nod your head to acknowledge. Nod your head to acknowledge. Okay.
1-6 puts the flight in free cruise and enters a graveyard spiral descending rapidly. Lieutenant Nickel, in a calm voice, says,
"Come out! And turn over the cars and branch it, for Christ's sake, look at the altitude!
Passes the lead and flies directly in front of 1-3. The hairy lead pass finally completed. The flight disposition is now 1-3, 2-7, 2-2, and 1-6.
1-3, turn to the right. Turn to the right, 1-3. Sugar Baker, 1-3, turn to the right. Turn to the right, 1-3. Right, 1-3, turn to the right. 1-3, turn to the right. Get away from 1-6. Baker, 1-3, if you read, nod your head. Straight and level on a heading of east. On a heading of east. Straight and level. Stern straight and level, 1-3. Straight and level. Level your wings, 1-3. Level your wings.
At this point, 1-3 is trying to pass the lead while the chase pilot is trying to assume the lead. However, the flight continues to turn into and away from the chase pilot.
Negative! Negative! Three, two.
Do you read me? Front three, do you read? Do you understand what I am saying? There's the formation and go home.
I read you, but not very loud, 183.
27, do you read me? I want the lead. 183, taking the lead. It's your formation in echelon. It's your formation in echelon. Give him the other hand so he'll know which one.
1-3 finally passes the lead to 2-7 against Lieutenant Nichols' wishes.
Negative 1-3! Negative! Negative 1-3! I want you to go! 2-7, do you read me? Do you read 2-7? Sugar Baker, 2-7, do you read? Sugar Baker, 2-2, do you read me?
I can read you loud and clear, sir.
Thank God.
Lieutenant Nichols, relieved that someone hears him 5-by-5, is contemplating getting the lead pass somehow to 2-2. However, 2-7 has the flight in left echelon and gives the signal for carrier breakup and rendezvous. Everyone breaks into the echelon.
Don't do that! Don't do that! No, 2-7! No! No, 2-2! No!
Chase pilot is not successful in preventing the join-up, which was considerably below the required standards. The flight disposition is now 2-7, 1-6, 2-2, and 1-3.
Please wait on this channel and read me. Please come up. This is Sugar Baker, 183.
183, this is Sugar Baker, 3-8, go ahead.
What's your position, 3-8?
I'm over on the call for about a mile and a half out.
Can you get over here just over the
Big River
Bridge?
Well, I have some flight plan. I've got an ETA to make a full deal. Can I help you?
I've got four pilots up here, four student pilots that have completely lost their minds. None of them can read me well enough to know what's going on. I cannot contact any of them.
Come on, here's the flight plan to full deal. Why don't you call Chief Flight and need to contact somebody?
I don't think it's possible. I think I'll run into every one of them one at a time. Thanks a lot, Dave, anyhow.
183, this is Sugar Baker 1-3. I read you now. I'm on channel 5, over.
Thank you, 1-3.
The chase pilot, in desperation, tries to get 1-3, the number 4 man, to assume the lead. However, 2-7 continues to make turns to the left as 1-3 gets a beam of him. Eventually, he passes the lead and at times flies directly over 1-3 and fights with 1-3 over the lead pass. The flight continues to descend to 800 feet.
Now, what are you going to do about it as tail end? Cross over to the left, 1-3. Cross over to the left. Push over and cross over. Come over here to the left, 1-3. Way over to the left. Way over to the left. Keep coming and keep down. Go ahead of 2-7. Go ahead of 2-7. 2-7, level out. now. Level 27, level, 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 level. I ain't get back. Be sure of it now, 1-3, or you never know what's gonna happen. Wait until he levels off. Get your head like you want the lead, 1-3. Get your head like you want the lead. Make him give you the lead. Right, now move on up all the way so he can give you the lead.
The lead is passed to 1-3, and 2-7 drops back to the number 2 position. The flight disposition is now 1-3, 2-7, 1-6, and 2-2.
1-3, make a climbing left turn to 2,000 feet. Turn left to make a 360-degree turn. To 2,000 feet, 1-3. 3-8, this is 1-8-3 again. Do you read me 5-5? Hey, if you read me, rock your wings a little bit. Figure 1-3, if you read, rock your wings. I want you to go home. You understand? Nod your head. I want you to take my flight home to Softly Field.
Tends to have burned a tank dry and heads for the trees, eventually joining up at full throttle.
2-2, what's the trouble? Please join the flight, 2-2.
Cleared to a 1,500-foot pattern land runway 90.
1-6, can you move to get over there? Move back a little bit, 1-6. Cross 2-7 over, 1-3. Take the runway, 1-3. Move it out to the right. Move it out to the right, 1-3. You're going to land on runway 9, not 2-7. Don't break up, 2-7. Don't break. Crossway Tower, this is 183. The four students I have cannot read me. Will you please get them straightened out and land on runway 9 instead of runway 27? Does everybody take a wave off? You're landing on runway 9! Take a wave off, all planes just broke. Take a wave off, take a wave off, take a wave off.
When you have your gear up. SNJ down, number one downwind, you have your gear up. Number one downwind, you have your gear up. Number three downwind, you have your gear up.
1-3, your wheels are up, lower up. 3, go around, your wheels are up.
SNJ, take a wave off.
Wave him off. This is Sugarbaker 183. Do you read me loud and clear?
I got you 183. That was 1-3 wheels up approach. You made a wrong break. We got him.
If there's any way that you can, will you please shoot him down? All four of them.
We're shooting down with a very pistol next trip.
Coming into the break. I'll try and stay up here and get
them
down.
Okay, 183, this is the RDO.
All aircraft having taken wave-offs proceed to join upwind. The chase pilot tries to prevent this. 2-7 acknowledges and stays approximately 200 yards behind the other three who have joined up. On the next trip around, the chase pilot gives 2-7 permission to break as 1-3, the leader of the other three aircraft, passes the upwind end of the runway and supposedly must go around again. However, he breaks simultaneously with 2-7.
2-7, do not join the flight. 2-2, do not join the flight. 2-7, do not join the flight. Last airplane, 2-7, if you read, do not join that flight.
This is 2-7, I'm going to get out there, Roger.
That flare you shot off down there, you put a little grass fire.
Thank you. Here's the RDO, Warren. That flare we just shot off, we started a grass fire on the end of 9. You want to take care of it for me?
No, I will take care of it.
Go ahead and break. 2-7, go ahead and break. -27, -27, real loud if you can. Idiot broke up there. Get RDO, get ready.
All aircraft land safely.
This instructional period did not end with the landing of the airplanes, but continued into the debriefing room. Lieutenant Nickel, still unaware that he had been duped, was purple with rage and proceeded to debrief his students, mostly in four-letter words. When told what had actually transpired, he refused to believe it because the flight had been so realistic to him. Finally, he did accept the fact, but was nonetheless angry when he did. After 2 days' leave, he realized the importance of this recording for future instructors. Now here are just a few people that made this recording possible. Commander Cook Cleland, who conceived of the idea. Lieutenant Nickel, who played so well the part of the frustrated instructor. Major Houston, Lieutenant Brown, Lieutenant Gagnon, and Major Keister, who took the roles of the sorry students, and Scott Morrow, the technical director. Thank you and good luck.
I thought you might enjoy that tape. picked it up from the ops officer here at the base. I got a copy of it, so I just thought I'd flick it off a little bit on this tape. Well, pardon me. It's, Christ, 18 January 1971. We're into the new fucking year. And I haven't written you or sent a tape for so damn long, I'm just literally ashamed of myself. Really is grim. I've been fucking around too much, drinking, carousing. Really ashamed, but sorry about that. Got your tape here right before Christmas. I think it was the day I left for California. Sounds as though you're gonna have a good time in Australia, and then I talked to Mike, and you in fact did have a good time. He said you didn't get laid. Did you get laid? Christ, that's an impossibility, isn't it? Or maybe he said you just didn't lay a stewardess. It's too bad, partner. Too bad. I've got to figure out, you know, what I'm talking about. I'm sitting here. Yesterday I flew back. I'll start all over again. Last Saturday, I ferried the damn old little observation helicopter up to Baltimore. And it only cruises about 70 knots. It doesn't have a goddamn heater, and I had 30 knots on the nose. It took me 3 hours, and I fucking near froze to death. I've never been so cold in all my life. Sitting there beating my feet on the floor, couldn't control the aircraft. I was really froze to death. Stayed up in Washington over the weekend. A buddy of mine up there. And came back yesterday, and it's the same fucking story. I had wind on the nose. I ferried another one just like it back. And had wind on the nose, and it was about, minus 10, minus 12 centigrade, somewhere in there. I don't know. I know I was goddamn cold. I nearly froze to death. Woke up this morning, I had a terrible sore throat, so I just called in and said I wasn't coming to work today. So I thought I'd better get a tape out here before you go to Hong Kong. And let you know what's happening or whatever's happening. Biggest thing that's happened is I'm out of the goddamn Army 1st of April. Which is just a lousy, rotten shame. Right now I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. It might be good, it might be bad. I don't know what the hell I'll do. Things on a ranch aren't running quite as smoothly as they could. I guess Eddie's running it now, and Jack's taken over Transland. And he's running that. Now, maybe they're a little bit better. I haven't talked to him for a while. I tried to call Jack last night. Couldn't come up with anything. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Anyway, I'm getting out of the Army April 1. I could extend. I've got so many damn options I've been mulling over in my mind that I could go indefinite and go up to Fort Meade, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., and fly. And that'd be a pretty good job. Not as good as I've got here. That'd mean I'd have another year to do. I could go into the Navy. I talked to the detailer the other day. A friend of mine here wants me to go into the Navy. Be a helo pilot. That doesn't fucking turn me on, but Christ, being a JG or a lieutenant is a hell of a lot better than being a warrant officer. I've got a job offer down in Louisiana, flying helicopters, and that doesn't turn me on. But I think I'll go back to college. and screw around. So I called up Johnson Airlines or Johnson Flying Service out of Missoula. You know, they got Ford tri-motors and DC-3s, DC-4s, and TBMs. That's kind of like a SPAD. It's a little smaller than a SPAD, you know, for firebombing. It's got 2850s, I guess, on it, or something like that. And they got a bunch of helicopters. So I called them up and wanted a job for the summer, you know, so where I could put enough cash away where I could go to school or maybe go to school part-time up in Missoula. Now, let me check my tape, see that I don't have it. There's a little bit left on this side. So I talked to them, and here's the offer. From May until October, I'm going to turn this tape over. Back to the Johnson Flying Service. From May till October, I'm not a sure commitment yet. I don't know if this is gonna pan out or anything. But I've got a job, or they're offering a job, starting anywhere between $750 a month to $900 a month, plus $5 an hour for every hour in the air, plus per diem. Okay, I figured that they really need some helicopter pilots, and I have some unique qualifications. Now I got checked out in the old 117. That's a DC-3. It's a souped-up C-47. A friend of mine checked me out in that, so I'm rated in that, and got checked out in the T-28 and the S-2 here recently. Been flying my ass off, but. But anyhow, I'm checked out the 117, and they have a bunch of them, and helicopters. So, he said the field was better than helicopters, but, you know, I can always switch back and forth, hopefully. But he figured, this is just what I figured, at least $800 a month base plus $5 an hour would be approximately $1,300 a month. Plus per diem. I don't know how much that. They said the Hilo pilots up there in the Forest Service were flying about 100 hours a month. Well, I don't know. That doesn't sound bad, but it keeps me out of the breadlines. There's no goddamn airline jobs available. I've written every airline in there's a chance that Overseas Nationals Airlines flies Electras and DC-9s and DC-8s. A charter outfit might be hiring some pilots, and I don't know. I haven't got any word back on them, but they're supposed to pick up about 70 pilots here in the spring. They got a bunch of new contracts, but they don't pay a hell of a lot. About $650 a month to start, or $600 somewhere in there. And you gotta live in New York City, which is pretty shitty. That doesn't turn me on. I might go back to the ranch and stuff, but that's really, really looking grim for a while. I haven't decided to settle down. I thought I'd stay in the Army a while. And there are no women out there. Of course, there isn't probably too many women in Missoula. Kay's up there now. I guess she's there. She's in some little place called Plains. It's better than, at least it's out in the west, and I like the area, you know. Do a little fishing this summer, and then I go to school. this winter, get my degree, and maybe if I bring up my grade point, maybe come up with a master's somehow, screw around for a while. Let the GI Bill put me through a few months of school, and then fly in a summertime, you know, which would be a nice job. I think I'm hoping for it. Sounds pretty good, and the money's okay. You can live a hell of a lot cheaper in Montana than you can out here. At least I won't be paying $180 for a one-bedroom apartment. Shit, I could rent a mansion for that. And maybe buy a little property up there, buy a house or something on the GI Bill, and rent it out and live a little cheaper yet. But been seriously contemplating it. Kind of here in a thrash, all of a sudden they came back and said, you're out of the Army April 1. If you don't want to go indefinite or regular or augment. And shit, the Army doesn't show me anything. I just can't see it. So guess I'll get out, and whatever will happen will happen. Let me see, other good news. I don't know if that's good news. Sitting here trying to talk with this goddamn sore throat is really bugging me, but I thought I better get a tape off. It's T.Y. Baker down in Yuma or North Island, instructed. I ran into him at the club and we went out and got drunk a couple nights. And now, I don't know. He's okay guy, I guess. But, I remember flying with him. We got talked over old stories. He's still a little fucked up. I don't know. Kind of weird. But I guess he likes it out there. And gets to travel a lot. And he's got a pretty good job out there in North Island. Let me see. Jay, what the fuck was his? Pat called him Woodstock. Flying for VR-21. Second time I went out to San Francisco over Christmas, I flew out with him. He was 2P and a 118. Not a bad asshole, but I didn't get drunk with him or anything. I had better things to do in San Francisco than go out drinking with him. I went out just before Christmas, myself and this lieutenant. Flew a 117 out there on a Liberty run, taking all the people that wanted to go on leave out the West Coast. God damn, don't ever let anybody talk you into that job. Flew from here to Alameda, made a stop in Tinker, and it took us 15 hours. Oh shit, talk about a couple tired guys. But I don't know, it's kind of fun. Went out there. Flew out there on a Friday, that's right. Flew out Friday, stayed Friday night, Saturday night. Flew back here Sunday. And prevailing winds, it only took us about 11 hours, 12 hours coming back, 12 hours. Helped out a little bit. Then I didn't have to work here and I didn't have to take leave. We set up kind of a weird schedule over Christmas, and it was kind of grim. I couldn't afford to go home. So Jack was going to Seattle, or he went to Seattle, and Eddie was going to Billings, and now Mike was going over to Australia. And I thought, shit, why go home? And I was going to sit around here, and that kind of turned me off. There's not that much screwing here. And not that good a time to be had, so I caught a flight out with VR-21 into Alameda. And, God, I wish I could remember his last name. Flew out there with this Jay and another guy that knew you. They both knew you. I can't remember the other guy's name. You probably, Woodstock. Highland wasn't there, and so Vicky was there, so I went up spent a night up Christmas Day and a night up with her folks, and then went back to San Francisco. It was raining up in the mountains, so we didn't go flying or skiing. Just went back to San Francisco, got drunk, screwed, had a good time. And on the way back up, you see, I went up to Brunswick, spent, I think it was 4 days in San Francisco, and then I went up to Brunswick, spent a day and a half with Dave Sin up there in Cookie. Got really screwed up there too. And let me see, then I came back here. Let me see, where else did I go? I've been getting a lot of trips here lately. You know, Jacksonville and Brunswick and all around the East Coast here. Since I'm flying at 117, that really helps out. Thank God for the Navy. Here Paul Brown's crying for flight time, but he doesn't want to fly an old 30-year-old airplane. So these dumb bastards, they don't realize that old 30-year-old airplane is about the hardest son of a bitch you'll ever conquer. At least on a crosswind landing. I'm not too proficient at it, but I guess I can land it safely. Let me see. Like I said, last weekend I went up to Washington, D.C. and screwed around up there and got drunk. Didn't get laid. And that was a shame. That was a shame. But, so I've been kind of busier, running around a lot, not doing a hell of a lot, yet flying quite a bit. And just kind of generally fucking around. Trying to get all I can out of the military before I go. Okay, we'll come to the European trip. It sounds absolutely beautiful. I'll take leave. I'll catch a hop from here, somewhere here on the East Coast, get over to Frankfurt or Rhein-Main or something like that and meet you. Talked to Mike about it on the phone, and he said he'd meet us up there. I was trying to get a couple hundred, Vicky, to get one of her friends or something and fly on over so we'd have a sure piece of ass, and then I kind of thought better than that, we could do some hustling. I don't know whether or not the hustling is worth it or anything, but I imagine we can get laid over there. I really think I can, just give me the dates. He said, Mike said something about March 9th, you'd be there. Now, we can't take, I don't know, I can't take more than about 2 weeks. I got to get back here and get out of the Army. You know, I got to get back in time to get out of the Army. I'm going to take off here in 2 weeks and go out to Colorado and ski for a week. I'd kind of like to do that for, catch a hop out there. Go out and see JB and I had Dan send the skis down there, and this buddy of mine from up in DC might come, and then Vicky's for sure coming out, and I don't know, I don't think Mike will be around, but I'm just going to go up the cabin and ski a bunch. I'm really, really up for some good skiing. So give me the dates and times on when you want, I want to make sure that you're going to Europe. Because if not, I'll change my whole schedule and we'll go out to Colorado and ski and spend a little time in California. Something like that. I don't want to go over there and, well, I kind of want to go, but I can't really afford it. It fucking cost of living up here, and my wages just really, really hurt my drinking taste and my travel, and it really is tight on the money situation. So send me something soon so I can put in for leave and arrange a hop, okay? Aside from that, I guess I can't really like to do it. Probably spend a couple weeks in Europe, and I don't know when you're going to have how long a leave or what's your next duty station. Thought we might come back here and you could do whatever you wanted to do and I'd check out of this goddamn army and we might go out to Colorado and ski there for a little bit. Screw around there, I don't know. Anything you want to do, son, I'm up for it. As far as getting me any ski pants or anything out of Hong Kong, I just can't afford it, Tim. I'd like them, but I don't have any fucking money. But drinking is costing me too damn much. I just can't quite hack her. And I'm gonna get out of here and I'm gonna need a little bit of money to go out to Montana or whatever I'm gonna do with my life. I don't shit, my goddamn old T-Bird's about to die on me just like Mike's car in Colorado, it died. Old Brown died. She's going up the mountain and she just goes bang, bang, bang. She quit on it. So I don't know. I gotta get me some fucking wheels. Of course, don't need much in Montana. Might buy me a pickup or something. Get around out there. I hate goddamn cars. But that's the way the situation sets right now. If we'll work out what you let me know what you're gonna do and I'll sure as hell try and meet you. I'm up for skiing in Europe. Go over there and get drunk and do something different while I can get this free transportation. I'm not gonna take Mike's trip. I told him I could catch a hop just space A, same as yours, and see what we can work out. I think there's enough flights going in out of here, McGuire and shit, to where we can get, we get back here to the East Coast and I can get you any place. I'm wired on catching these hops. Let me see. What else? Chase, it's been, I don't know what I've got to catch up on. It's been so long since I talked to you. It really is really making me feel bad. But anyway, we'll party. What is this shit about VS-21? That sounds like a bomber squadron. I don't know. It just doesn't turn me on that much. I don't think they can do that to you. There's got to be some better place to go than that. Christ, I flew a goddamn P-3 back from Moffett, not up to Brunswick when I was out there the last time. Flew it for I got up in the seat about 3-4 hours, I don't know. And goddamn, that's a fine airplane. I think that'd be a shit hot job. That's a fine, fine airplane. Oh, another deal. I've got a chance. I might. Another one of my options is that I might be able to get into Montana Air National Guard. And the bastard's got to send me through flight school again. Air Force flight school. Well, shit, I'll take flying school. Christ, I could stand years playing. And I'm sure that's about all it is. And then come back and fly with the Montana Guard. The deuce is around. I kind of like that military flying. But I just can't see any future in a goddamn army. But I haven't sent them anything. I've talked to them on the phone and they said, shit, we should, they aren't sure, but they should be able to get me a flight school slot here before the I get too old, which is in August. But, anyway, how's things going with you besides Sydney and fucking around in Saigon and whatever? How's things, how's the life treating you? Sounds like Mike said you were working your ass off. It's good. It's a good way to keep your mind off things over there. I wished I were. I lead a fucking useless life out here. I don't do a goddamn thing. Except, you know, fly when I want to, get drunk in afternoons, and really, shit, I gotta get out of here, Tim. I'm gonna go crazy. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to school because I'm getting out. And then I was taking off so much leave time, you know. Finally finished up my college courses. And I guess didn't do fantastic. Got a B and a C out of them. But that isn't bad. It got 6 semester credits. So help me out. I don't know. I don't even know how many credits I got. I gotta go back there, Montana State, and dig out my records and see if they'll see what I gotta do to get a degree. I know it isn't too hell of a lot. Got to do something with the old bod here. It's falling in a slump here, getting, not going any place, spending all my money living in this goddamn military. It's just, shit, I'm getting too old for being all this. I like to play, but shit, I gotta do something for my future a little bit. I don't know. Well, let me check my tape. I got a little bit, a few minutes left. I'll babble on a little while longer and put this son of a bitch in the mail today. Let me see. I don't know how long you got left in the Navy, but be well now to figure out what you're going to do when you get out. Well, maybe not yet. But don't stay in a goddamn military. I don't know. It's great life, but makes the laziest people in the world. But don't do a damn thing. I don't know. I hope this job with Johnson pans out. It'd be kind of nice. I could be back on the ranch, you know, quite a bit and still fly and make some coins where I could live in a manner I've become accustomed in, you know, in the wintertime. And still, I'd kind of like to fly around the mountains, at least for a summer, you know, maybe a couple of years. I don't know. You know, they charter all the football teams around and stuff. And it really isn't, there aren't a hell of a lot of outfits that pay that kind of money to start with. Christ, it's the economy of the country back here in the States is really dicked up. That fucking Nixon, somebody ought to hang him by the balls. He really is shit. It's grim, Tim. It really is super shitty. There's college graduates with master's degrees and whatever walking the streets all over. You can go from California to the Virginia, and it just, there's a lot of people unemployed. And the terrible part, or the horrible part about it, is that the people that are unemployed are, you know, exceptionally well qualified people. Like goddamn Seattle, I guess. I was talking to Jack, and he said that's just like a big, big destitution area since the SST and Boeing is really going down. They got, and that's about true. You know, you can get a job if you're illiterate. You can get a job on an assembly line and not know anything better, making a little money. You know, existing. But by God, you you get a degree, and especially if you've been a military officer or something like that, they won't fucking hire you to do dig ditches, because they know damn well you're going to go on to bigger, or as soon as something improves, you're going on to better things. That's a friend of mine that flew for Northwest, is now back in the Navy. He tried to work in a goddamn assembly line out in Minneapolis. And when Northwest laid off all the pilots, just because they were, while they were on strike, and they goddamn wouldn't hire him. They wouldn't hire him. And so he came in and talked to another guy. He didn't shave for a couple of days and walked in with a dirty t-shirt and said he never got out of high school and been in the Navy 3 years and never made it above E3. And they hired him on the spot, you know, putting cars together. He said it was really grim. And just before he left, he told the people he was working with there in Ford, he says, shit, just before he came back in the Navy, he says, I'm going back in the Navy. And they said, yeah, what else? I said, I'll go back flying job. Oh, crew member? He said, no, shit, I'll make lieutenant commander here next year, and they about shit. And they really got pissed off about it. But there's a lot of qualified people out looking for jobs. And the goddamn economy of the country is really grim. Little few things before you go to Hong Kong. All I got, Jack's got my, gave him an amplifier, and that's all he's got. And, I gave him a car stereo. And I don't know whether you want to pick up anything for him or not. Wouldn't mind a pair of ski pants myself. You know, if you could find some classy ones, I'm got about a 33-34 inch waist. You know, I don't know, wear about 30 inch legs, and I got pretty big calves. You know, about 30 inch legs, 30 inch trousers, what I wear, and it. If you could find a pair of those, that'd probably turn me on. But I can't afford much else than that. There's some bits and pieces I'd kind of like to have, but hell with it. Wait until I can afford it. Might do bigger and better things come sometime. Wish you'd get out. We're out of the goddamn Navy. I'd go back to the ranch and square it away, but I don't think I can. I don't have much communication with Eddie, so I don't know if it'd be good if I go back there or not. Just might add to the problems. I don't know. I'm gonna do something, son. All right, I'll be bound determined not to starve to death. Talked to Mom here last week or so. She's doing pretty good. She's still out there on a. She's still running around like ever. And, okay, love life. Love life's been pretty shitty lately, except for, you know, out in California, and then I got too goddamn much. I've got this, Vicky that calls you up. She'll probably call you again if you're around. I think she tried to call one other time, but you weren't in or something. She's good head. She isn't very good looking, but just a sweetheart of sweethearts. Pretty goddamn nice. And goddamn Kay, she sent me a letter here the other day. She really fucked up to him. She really is. She, you know, she's only been working in Denver a little while, a year or so, you know, year and a half, I guess. And she sent me a letter from Denver and said she said made some momentous decision lately. And she had her address there in Denver on the on an envelope, and she had that scratched out, and she had Plains, Montana, which is right by Missoula, wrote in there, box something or other, and wrote me all this goddamn story about how she wanted to come live with me and shit like this, you know. And then she moved out to Montana, didn't tell me. Boy, she fucked up. Didn't tell me why she's moving or what the story is. For all I know, she's probably married. But I guess I can't call her anymore. She doesn't have a goddamn telephone. I guess I'll drop her a note or something and ask her what the shit's going on. Boy, she's screwed up, Tim. Good looking, but really fucked up. It's just a shame that, yeah, I guess she gives me a pain in the ass sometimes anyway, so. But the screwing out here in Norfolk has been really grim. Really grim. There's just one big buttered JG out here. Wave type. I've been fucking around with. And I swear, she's got a nice looking face, but Christ, she's got the biggest ass in the world. And it really is a shame that I've got to lower myself to something like that. It's really a sin, Tim. No rhyme or reason to it that I should have to stoop that low, but have a couple beers and that old big ass just gets smaller and more fun to play with. But let me see, Brownie says hi. He's stuck out here. He's still PAO officer here working his butt off. Went over to his house, went out with him Friday night at happy hour. Went over to his house and had supper. Two of us drank so much we passed out on the couch. And I woke up Saturday morning. Really kind of a grim scene. I think his wife's kind of a teetotaler. She's a little bit fucked up too. No, she's a real nice kid, but she just doesn't drink pretty much a straight arrow. She just kind of pissed at us Saturday morning. We ate dinner and drank about a fifth of scotch. Really got on one. Hey, my tape just really is running short, so I'll write soon, okay?